It's so important that we know the Word of God. I'm telling you, we can never overemphasize the importance of God's Word. It's just something we cannot live without. I wonder how some folks live their lives without God's Word. I just wonder, how do you make it through the day not knowing God's Word? How? I feel so sorry for people who don't know Jesus. Especially when they think that life is going on fine for them. How can a man live his whole life in blindness? And then not to know it. And you know, a blind man doesn't know what it is to see. You understand? Because he only sees darkness. Doesn't know what light is. And you can never describe light to him. Nobody can describe light. No, not to a blind man. The only thing that can describe light is a greater light. You see, light cannot be described but by light, which must be greater. Because light is that which describes. Because the only reason we can see you is because of the light. Light describes you. You see, only a greater light can describe another light. Hallelujah. So it's so important for us to know God's Word. And don't you assume that you know God's Word until you go into the Scriptures yourself and search it out. Just imagine this. You know, we do this all the time. Here's a guy. He walks into the hospital. He's got a problem. And then they tell him that he's going to have open heart surgery. They're going to take his heart out of his body and work on it and put it back. And he says it's okay. Meanwhile, he doesn't know the doctor that's going to do it. The guy who signs him in is not the one who's going to do it. Think about it. Just think about it. That may not be you. Maybe you know someone who's been taken to the hospital like that. Just think about it. I want you to imagine it. And it happens all the time. Now this fellow, the day for the operation finally comes. He's put on a stretcher. They wheel him into the theater. And he's under some light. Think about it. And then, some 3 to 5 men in masks come into the theater. He doesn't know their names. He can't even see their face. Now, each one has a mask on. Think about it. And then they bring out their knives. Not to get him some oranges, but to cut his body open. And then one of them says, everything will be fine. We're just going to give you this little injection here. You just be all right. It'll put you out. And the guy says, all right, it's okay. He doesn't know the man. He's never met him before. And he says, thank you. He's so nice to them. He knows that by the time they give him that injection, he will not know A from B. He will not know anything that's going on anymore. He will be as good as dead. And they will cut his body open. And they're going to take his heart out. They're going to work on it and put it back. And all the time they're working, he doesn't know what else they take out of his body. He doesn't know what they put in. But he gives himself to them doctors. He says, go ahead, I'm all yours. And now you tell that same guy who put his whole heart, his whole life in the hands of some fellows whom he was told or whom he assumed, because nobody introduced the doctors to him in the theater. They just told him, the doctors will be right here. Wait. And these men in robes and masks walked in. And he saw dangerous weapons in their hands, pair of scissors, knife, everything. And he said, go ahead. And you share God's word with that same fellow, and he says, I don't believe it. You expect me to believe something I don't see? Look at you. We expect you to believe something you don't see, but you gave yourself to them doctors. You don't even know them. And we know human beings are not perfect. They make mistakes. And here's the word of God. Tested, tried 7 times. Never failed 1 time. Have you ever heard that one day the sun and the moon clashed? Have you ever heard? Have you even heard that 2 birds in the sky had an accident? The other day we were told 2 planes over somewhere in Germany collided in the air as much as the airspace is. I was watching on the shore one day a few years ago. As I was watching, and 2 boats on the sea had an accident. Right, I was watching them. There's so much space on the water. And the 2 of them had an accident. God has a record for having never made a mistake. Hallelujah. A doctor one time forgot a pair of scissors in someone's body after the operation. They didn't know why the fellow was still having terrible problems until they had an x-ray and found the doctor who performed the operation had left a pair of scissors inside the body. I'm talking about documented facts. Some time ago, a lady was told she had a tumor. The doctor said it's got to be brought out. And she gave herself to them. By the time the operation was over, they found out it was a fetus. A baby coming. The doctor said it was a tumor. And the lady hadn't had any child before. This was going to be the first one. The doctor made a mistake. See how you have faith in men? Where are you going? New York! We see you all the time in the airport. New York! You've checked in your things. Yeah! You tell your family bye-bye. With that little briefcase in your hand, strolling so fast, you're excited. You're going to New York. Go through all the customs. Then you get into the plane. You're nice to everybody, and everybody's nice to you. You sit down. Fasten your seat belts. You're smiling, looking out through the window. You don't even know where they're taking you. You've never seen the face of the captain. You don't know who's there. How many of you, before you traveled, you asked the captain to show you his certificate of qualification to fly the airplane. Did you ask him? I want to know. I just want to be sure we are really going to, because I don't believe what I can't see. Because, you know, people were giving testimonies a moment ago, and some of you were just watching. Mm-hmm. Really? You? Really too? Look at you. They signed you on the job. They told you they would pay you such and such amount of money at the end of the month. Somebody told you they were rich enough to pay you. You heard about them. Did you go to the bank? Did you ask them, hey, where are your bankers? I want to go find out if you have enough money in the bank to pay my salary at the end of the month. Did you find out? Tell me, Mr. Check It All Out first. I don't believe what I don't see. Nobody can fool me. Nobody can brainwash me. I don't believe nothing. Yeah, you don't believe nothing. You have deceived yourself. Because there's so many things in life you believe without testing out. But there you are. When it comes to something about God, nobody's going to fool me. But they fooled you all your life. Where did you come from? They told you the man, the woman that you met were your parents. Have you asked for a blood confirmation? To know that the woman you have said is your mother for 40 years is truly your mother. You grew up and they said, this is your brother, this is your sister. You knew them that way. Have you found out? Did you go for a test? Talk to me now. Look at you. I don't believe what I can't prove. Talk to me now. Well, nobody would. Haven't you heard some people grew up 45 years only to find out that the man they thought was their father was never their father? Until one elderly man showed up. He's 70 years old. And he said, yeah, I'm your daddy. And mommy, is it true? And mommy said, actually, please forgive me. I made a mistake. I should have told you all these years. Yep. I'm a pastor. I know what people go through. And he never found out. 45 years. And you come into church, nobody's going to deceive me. I just feel sorry for you. You can sit down there frowning. I'm the pastor of this church. If you didn't know, I can ask you to get up, walk out, and you cannot do anything about it. Well, I have you right where I want you. Yeah, you're here today. Tell somebody, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm just trying to get you to understand that in life, we should realize that God made us persons of faith. We can have faith. See? Faith is not something that you decide whether or not to have. It's something that's born in your spirit when God's word comes to you. The day you open your heart to God and say, Lord, I don't know everything. You know better than I do. You can sure enough teach me. God will teach you. See, the Bible says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, in the presence of God, we're like children. Those of us who believe in God, we're like children. So much so that the wise will think we're stupid. But we're not stupid. See, we've come to realize that man is a spirit. Hallelujah. Man is a spirit. So you can open your heart to God and learn from him. And you'll be instructed. Amen? And you see, God's word can be proved. You can prove God's word to yourself. Prove it to yourself. Haven't you heard the atheist? He says, there's no God. And then when he gets into a frustrating situation, he says, oh God! What he said, there's no God. I love Jesse the Planet. He said something. He said a man was sitting by his side and they were traveling. They were in the airplane. And while they were there, this man said he was an atheist, didn't believe there was a God. Well, he said he's a preacher. He believed in God and in Jesus Christ. And after a while, there was an explosion. One of the wings of the airplane got on fire. And the people began to push the panic button. And the man, everybody was saying, "Oh, Jesus." And when the man beside him said, "Oh, God." Jesus said, "No, no, no, don't call on him. He doesn't exist. Just sit down and enjoy your death." I love Jesse. Everybody loves him. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're talking about faith. Amen. But look at what Jesus said. Anything is possible. I believe him. Jesus never lied to anybody. That's what we read in the 19th verse. The Bible says in the 17th chapter of Matthew's Gospel that the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast the devil out?" They were trying to cast the demon out and they couldn't. And so they came to Jesus later because Jesus had cast the devil out, and they saw that what Jesus did, they said everything Jesus said, they did everything Jesus did, and it didn't work for them. So they said, "Master, why couldn't we cast the devil out?" Well, Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." That's in the 20th verse. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, those words of Jesus can be trusted. He said, "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." What do you want in your life? How do you want your life to go? Do you realize that you're in charge of your life much more than anybody else in society or government? You know that what you become will not be the doing of the government? You realize it's got nothing to do with those around you, the family you come from, your husband or your wife or who your children are? Do you realize you actually have your life in your hands? Maybe you don't know this or you didn't know. But you're hearing now. Whether you live in health or you live in sickness is up to you. Did you know that? Whether you're poor in this world or rich in this world, do you realize it's up to you? Somebody said, "Work hard and work hard." So, "Well, I work so hard and that's why I'm doing very well." No, sir. Working so hard has got nothing to do with it. Actually, when you get to doing what you love doing, it ceases from being work. Hey, come on, you know that, don't you? It just becomes a part of life. You enjoy doing it. There are people who enjoy being called workaholics. "I'm a workaholic. I work from sun up to sundown." That's why you look older than you should look. All your veins are coming out. The wrinkles on your face testify to the truth. You are a workaholic. Praise God. Well, 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 well. Thank you, Lord. On Wednesday night, we began to share along these lines. We got to talking about the man Job. Did you ever hear of our friend Job? Job was a wonderful man of God. And I'm not talking about human thinking, human standard. God testified of Job that he was an upright man, a righteous man. That's what God said about him. Job was a great man. His faith was tried. His faith was tested. And thank God, he was not found wanting. Amen? Well, there's something about the life of Job that has confused a lot of people. They say, "But why did God do that to Job?" Someone said, "Does God still do such things today?" You know, when they go through some problems, they want to know, maybe they are like Job. Maybe they are the Job of the 21st century. Maybe God's trying to play the same trick on them that he did on Job. They lost their job. Maybe even lost their children. They've gotten so sick and dying. All their friends have abandoned them. The spouse is gone. So they say, maybe this is from God. I might just be another Job. And then you remember the famous words of Job. Naked came out of my mother's womb. The Lord has given. And the Lord has taken away. Can we read? All right. Maybe for those of you who are not quite acquainted with what Job went through, may I just read to you very quickly what Job went through? The book of Job, chapter number 1. And if you don't know where the book of Job is, turn to the table of contents. Chapter 1. From verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 children. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Did you hear that? The richest man in all the East in those days was an upright man. A man of God. Man that loved God. Perfect in the things of God. So don't you think that the more you serve the devil, the richer you become. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Somebody says, if you serve God, you might just become poor. You serve the devil first and get rich. And then later on you can serve God. The devil doesn't make people rich. Far from it. He lies to them. He said, but what about the rich people who don't serve God? I'll tell you who gave it to them. First, ask yourself, what about the poor people who don't serve God too? If the devil gave to those people, why doesn't he give to the other poor guys who don't serve God? Proof positive, it was not the devil that gave it to them. Had they get it? They stumbled upon or acted rightly on principles in this world that God has already given. Brothers and sisters, whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, if you will sow a seed of corn in the ground, it will sprout, it will grow. Because the law has been given there. Whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, if you walk off of the balcony, you will drop down to the ground. Why? Because the law of gravity is in operation. Whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. You still there? There are principles of success laid out in this world. That if any man will take them and act upon them, he'll become successful. The only trouble is, the principles of this life are under a curse. Which means, if any man will rely on the principles of this life for success, he can only go up to come down. Why? Because it's all under a curse. Which means it cannot give you permanent success. Oh boy, if you miss that, take a pillow and start sleeping. Glory to Jesus. Alright, don't sleep yet because a better one is still coming, okay? A better one. Don't miss the next one. Okay, now, follow this. Where are we? Verse 1? Okay, I won't need to read verse 4. I want to go straight to verse 6. Alright. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Now, it says the sons of God. If you study properly, you understand he was talking about angels. They had an angelic conference with Almighty God. So, the term sons of God there doesn't mean sons of God in the in the sense of the New Testament. No, it refers to angels at this time. All right? Because you look at the Hebrew word used there, you'd know he's dealing with angelic beings. So he says, Satan came also among them. And the Lord, verse 7, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, somebody says, you mean Satan came into the presence of Almighty God and God didn't destroy him? Yes, the Bible says he did. So why didn't God destroy him? Because God could not. Why? God could not. So when God called for a conference, Satan came. Before then, listen, before Satan could, Satan couldn't. Enroll for LMC. Just the background. You remember Satan was one of the archangels long ways ago. You remember? Long. How many of you were there? All right, you suddenly weren't there. Okay. But many years ago. Many. Before Adam was created. So, Satan, at that time, he was not called Satan. He was not a devil. He was an archangel. He was called a covering cherub. All right? Long ago. And then, of course, you know, something happened. He was lifted up in his heart with pride. We can talk about that another time in details. But the revelation given to us in God's word was that God sent him packing. All right? He was thrown out of God's presence for doing the wrong thing. And when he was kicked out, he never again attempted God's presence. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And God did. And in our likeness, he said. And God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. You remember the creation of Adam. And later on came the creation of Eve. All right? Okay. So we had Adam and Eve. And in the Bible, Jesus says that God put them in the garden. And then Satan could not even come into the garden. You remember that? He couldn't come into the garden. He wanted to, but he couldn't. So he figured out, what am I going to do? So he looked out for someone that had the right to come in. The Bible says the serpent, you can study for yourself in Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. So, he looked out for one who had a right to come into the garden, and that was the serpent. Now, the serpent used to have four legs. He was not a snake. Are you getting it? The serpent, the Bible says, was one of the cattle. And he was very cunning. Very smart. Smart thinking. Not negatively, but positively. And so the devil looked out and he said, well, I can get into this one. The serpent was not a human person. So he could be influenced. And so Satan got into the serpent and came into the garden and spoke to Eve. And deceived Eve. I could preach for a whole month on that line only. In other words, there's so much in there. But just follow me to where we're going, all right? And of course, the Bible tells us that Adam was right there when Eve was deceived. And that Adam was not deceived. Adam knew the truth. And he sold out to the devil. Obeyed the devil, did what God said not to do, disobeyed God and obeyed the devil. And when he yielded himself to the words of Satan, he placed himself under the authority of Satan, who was ministering to him through the serpent. And Adam was cursed. Really, Adam was not cursed. It's a strange thing. When you study it in the Bible, you discover God cursed the serpent and cursed the ground. He really didn't curse Adam and Eve. Strange. Hallelujah. Something about it, because he had already warned them of what will happen. What God did was to pronounce the result of their sin. Now look at it. If I say, don't get out of that room, or if I tell you, yeah, don't get out of that room, because you get out of that room, you get into trouble. And then I tell you the kind of trouble. If you get out of the room and you get into trouble, is that a curse? It wasn't a curse. They got out of the room. God already told them there will be trouble. And they got out and got the result of that disobedience. So he asked Adam, he said, what have you done? And he said, oh, the woman that you gave me. And God said to the woman, why did you do this? And the woman said, well, the serpent deceived me. Did God ask the serpent any question? No question. He just cursed him. He said, now, upon your belly shall you go. You are cursed. And then God said, looking at Adam, he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. God didn't curse Adam. He didn't curse Adam. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. God cursed the ground. Instead, he said, you're going to have to sweat to get something out of it. He said, you're going to have to labor to ever prosper. You, for what you've done, you. He said, it will produce thorns and thistles to you. Out of your sweat shall you eat bread. Until you return to dust. For dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. That's what God said. And some people misunderstand that, and then they say the grave is the end point. There is no hell and there is no heaven. No, the same God who said that, said there is a heaven. And he said there is a hell. And he has told us that man is a spirit. It's his physical body that returns to dust. Because the creation of man and the formation of man are two different things. Man was created and man was formed. The inward man was created by God. But the outward man was formed from the dust of the ground. The outward man is the man that you see, that's sitting down. The one, the body and his senses. But the inward man is the human spirit and his soul. You get it? How many of you have understood that? Can I see your hand up? All right. Now look at this. When Adam became a servant of the devil by yielding himself to the devil, Satan gained the authority over Adam. He gained Adamic authority. And with that Adamic authority, he became the God of this world. He became the God of this world. Are you hearing me? And that's why when Jesus came, Satan said, now you can fall down and worship me and I'll give you everything. He said, look at all the kingdoms of this world. And the Bible says he showed them to Jesus in a moment of time. He said, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this because they have been delivered into my hands. Now, if that had not been a bona fide temptation, Jesus would have never had to say it is written, because Jesus would know, well, he's a lion. That's not true at all. But you see, it's been delivered into his hands. He actually stole them. He actually got them from Adam. You see that? So, He said, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus wouldn't fall for that. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, later on, we understand that Jesus defeated the devil. Amen. Oh, we can talk about that. But at this time in the Old Testament, Job, living in the Old Testament, you remember, I said, God called for this angelic conference, and Satan came. How come Satan could present himself in the presence of God and not be kicked out? Because he came with Adamic authority. He didn't come with his fallen angelic authority. He had lost that, but he gained a higher authority than angels. Have you gotten it now? Because Adam's authority, even though he was in the earth, was higher than the angels. And so when Satan got that authority from Adam, he was able to come into the presence of God. Now, he cannot do that again. Why? Because Jesus has defeated him. So he cannot go into the presence of God and begin to talk about you. Woo-hoo. He can accuse you from here. But he don't come to heaven. He's been kicked out, defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Now, look at this. Verse 7. Job chapter 1. Are you still with me? Okay. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escaped evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made an edge about him and about his house? An edge of protection. He said, does Job fear you for nothing? Haven't you built an edge around him and around his house? And about all that he hath on every side? How did Satan know he had been there? He had been there. He had tried to go take away from Job. He had tried to attack him. But he found out there was a hedge about Job. He tried to destroy his business. He found out the business was protected. He tried to destroy the house. The whole house was protected. And he was so frustrated until he found himself in the presence of God. And God said, have you found out about Job? And he said, yeah, the man serving you, of course, because you protected everything he's got. You protected his life. You've taken good care of the man. Look at it. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Look, Satan is talking. When a man is blessed, it's not the devil. Even Satan knows it's God who blesses. Look at it right there. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Then he said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He said, you touch what is God and see what happens. Did God do it? I said, Satan told God, you touch what you have given to Job and see what happens. He will curse you to your face. I said, did God do it? How many of you agree God didn't do it? Put down your hands. How many of you agree God did it? I can see just a few hands here. Where are some hands? Okay, put up your hands. If you think God did it, did God do it? There's a hand up there. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? You believe God touched what he had? Did God? Did God? Did God? Okay. Okay. Okay, you're not quite, some of you are not sure. How many of you are not sure? You're really not sure. How many of you are not sure? Okay, I'm only going to tell those who are not sure. So, if you're already sure, we can close the service now. Since we already know. Praise God. Alright. Wonderful. 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 Verse 11. Satan's still talking. He says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now watch the works of Satan. I want you to watch. This is just something else. I want you to watch. Here is Job enjoying himself and his family. Everything is all right. And Satan comes on the scene. Now, when Satan shows up in your house, look, verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Your servants are dead. While he was yet speaking, while this servant was speaking, because he was the only one who was able to escape, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep. You remember the number of sheep we read about? His oxen and so on. All right. He says, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, this is the fourth one. There came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Listen, in one day all of his business went down. His children died all at once in one day. How did, when Satan can come in, there's no telling how far he would go. You cannot beg Satan. You don't say, please, please, I've suffered enough, please. No! Until you are dead, he's not satisfied. He will take your children. He will take your wife. He will get on your case. Wreck your business. Get on. Listen, don't make friendship with the devil. He doesn't play cool. That dude is evil. Completely evil. Just look. This is terrible. Verse 20. Now imagine, look at Job. And he's hearing all this stuff. You expect him to be celebrating? Then Job arose and tore his mantle, that's his overcoat, and shaved his head. He removed all his hair. He shaved his head completely and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, oh God, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the good Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's about one of the most inspiring attitudes in God's eternal world. You are hearing some of the most challenging statements ever to come out of the lips of a man who suffered such crisis. The Bible says he fell down. He had shaved his head and he worshipped God. What an attitude. I mean, you read that and you just sit down and cry. A man like you. A man like you. He didn't say, what is all this? What am I going to do? No. Am I the only one? He didn't say that. Think about it. How many of you have gone through this? You've gone through this kind of a thing in one day. How many of you? Has this happened to you? In one day. Paul says, why this man was still talking? The other guy arrived, waiting to give his own. As he was saying his own, the other man arrived. Until the last one came and said, even the children, all of them, all 10 children are gone. They are gone. Mrs. Job. Think about it. Don't you think she will go? She'll lose her mind at this time. She's already old. How is she going to have children again? 10 of them. They are grown up enough to enjoy themselves in their eldest brother's house. So they're no longer children. They've grown up. The business is gone. All the children are dead in one day. Just one sweep. All gone. I want you all to read what he said in verse 21. One to go. No, verse 21. Hallelujah. Good attitude. Say that with me. Good attitude. Say it again. Good attitude. One more time. Good attitude. Everybody outside, say good attitude. No, those of you outside the hall, say good attitude. Yes. Good attitude. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, read it. One to go. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He wouldn't utter nonsense against God. He had the right attitude because he honored God in his life. Look at the next chapter. From verse 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it, because I have no at home address. And the Lord said, relax. Well, that's implied, isn't it? All right, verse 2. Why would anybody move like that? And God always wants to know where he's coming from. And he has no address. And the Lord, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, we're through with that. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escaped evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest, I want you to see that word and underline it. Thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Have you seen that? Thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands toward heaven. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Say it again, thank you, Lord Jesus. Put down your heads. I want to say this to you before moving on. You know, the Bible was given to us as a gift from God. You know that? The writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament were led to write by the Holy Spirit. And the revelations given to them were given to them by God. And the Bible says no scripture is of any private interpretation. No scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, when any prophet in the Bible brought forth a revelation that was given to him from God, you have to check it with what other prophets had said. Because God will never contradict himself. If a prophet has said something, you have to be sure it is consistent with the character of God. Isaiah said, "Thus said the Lord, I make good and I create evil." Have you seen that? That is Isaiah producing his own prophecy, telling you what thus said the Lord. But you listen to that word. And you see, a lot of times they spoke in shadows and types. Like Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Are you hearing me? A lot of the things they said were shaded. If you want to know God, look at Jesus. You want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Read his words and you will understand what God is like. Somebody said, "Send another Elijah here to bring that fire down. Send the fire, also send the rain. Send another Elijah." But that Elijah that you want to be like, when he heard Jezebel is after you, he took off. God said Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. The meekest man. Listen, that was God's testimony of Moses. He was the meekest. Yet, when Moses was tempted by the people, when Moses was tempted to anger, God said, "Moses, the people are thirsty. All right, talk to the rock to bring you water, and water will come out." Moses was not happy that God spoke to him so simply and was ready to give them water. Because he was already angry with the people. They said, "We will kill you if you don't give us water. Give us water." Oh, we. Because the first year of their history, of their journey, they had cried out for water. And Moses prayed to God. He said, "God, how are we going to get water for these millions of people to drink?" And God said, "All right, go to the rock, take your rod, strike it, and water will come out." And water came out. So this time they were angry. They said, "We will kill you, Moses, if you don't give us water now. For ourselves, our wives, our children, and our cattle." Moses said, "You? Why will you not obey the Lord? Give us water." So he stood before the Lord and prayed to God. He expected God to say, "Leave the way. I'll finish them now." God said, "All right, Moses, they want water. Go to the rock. Take your rod in your hand and stand before that rock and say, 'Water, come out.'" He said, "When you talk to the rock, water will come out for the people to drink." This Moses, the Bible says God testified of him as the meekest man in all the earth. Now this Moses, when he stood before the rock, with the elders of Israel, according to God's commandment to him, he said, "Must I give you water? Must I? Damn you! Damn you!" And he struck the rock, pash! Pash! In anger. Water came out. But God was angry with Moses. He said, "Moses, Why did you do that in anger? I said, talk to the rock. Why did you strike the rock? That rock was Christ. And Christ was only supposed to be smitten once. You smote him once, the first year of your history. After smiting Christ, when he dies and rises up again, you don't smite him again. You don't kill him again. You only talk to him. So God said, Moses, because you foul that up, you will see the promised land, but you will not enter. That was the meekest man that ever lived. Think about it. Think about it. Where is that man that was so perfect? Which? Elisha? They said he had the double portion. All right. Elisha was going around in the street one day. You know, he was a wonderful man. And then some young guys, they started laughing at him. He said, I command a beast to come out and devour this young man. And beasts, animals, lions, they came out and ate up the young children. You want to be like Elisha? Go ahead. What about Solomon? You want to be like Solomon? The wisest man that ever lived. The most understanding man that ever came to this planet. Until Jesus. You want to be like him? He married from everywhere. No, that's not enough. That was not even the bad story. He married from everywhere. He had, think about it, a man whose wives were enough to make a full congregation. Finally, he started building idol shrines around Jerusalem until God, the Bible says, he began to stink to God. God said, what is this? And the presence of God departed from him. Still want to be like him? Until you start stinking in the presence of God, doesn't want to have anything to do with you. What about Peter? The first pope. He will never deny his Lord. Never, ever, ever. But the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, after he had taken the communion with the Master, he walked out of that place. Very early in the morning, someone said to him, are you not one of them? I have never known that man. Never. So we have the writings of these prophecies. I want you to understand that they had a revelation of God that was not enough. It was Jesus who came and straightened things out. Their picture of God was so faulty. Anything that happened was by God. If it was evil, it was God. If it was good, it was God. They said anything that comes is from God. Look at Job. Job was a priest. Look at the first few verses. You can read from verse 4 and discover that he was a priest. He was in charge of his family. And for all his servants, he was a priest at the time. He offered sacrifices unto God. That's Job. Job knew God so much. I want you to get this. Job knew God so much that nothing moved him. He had committed himself to Almighty God. It's like when you say, come what may, I will never deny my Lord. He was so committed. But you know something? How come Job didn't know it was Satan who destroyed his family? He never knew. He said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. The same revelator of the book of Job, because it was a revelation given to us, because nobody went into the presence of God and saw Satan when he came for the meeting. Alright? It had to be a revelation, like the book of Genesis. Nobody was there when God made man in his own image. Alright? But you know, Moses wrote it, and some people have also said that Moses wrote the book of Job. Why? Because the book of Job really is the oldest of the Bible writings. So you believe, maybe, oh, Moses must have written that. But here's the point. Here's the point. Whoever the writer was, didn't see what he should have seen, or didn't see beyond the revelation that he had. God is not the author of evil. How did this thing happen? When you look at the Old Testament is walking in the shadow. Are you hearing me? Walking in the shadow. The true light that began to shine when Jesus came, the true light, because John said the true light now shines. The true light that began to shine was the one to show us what the Old Testament was all about and to let us see the hidden truths, the hidden areas of the Old Testament. When you study the New Testament, you understand the Old properly. This would have brought some form of confusion. Can the devil move God? Because then he says, God said to Satan, you have moved me to destroy him without cause. But James tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man with evil. Satan cannot move God to do something. So here we see the language of the writer. We see the language of the prophet. We see the revelation of the prophet. We see the limitation of his revelation. And then we can understand why another revelation had to be given. We can understand why the Bible, see, had to go on. We can understand why he had to send apostles and prophets in the New Testament to show us the true light. Hallelujah. Why was it that the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't understand who God was? They were in so much darkness that when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, they picked up stones. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What do you mean Abraham rejoiced to see your day? Are you saying you met Abraham? Jesus was emphatically saying, yeah, I did. They said, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, grammatically, he should have said, before Abraham was, I was. That would mean I came before Abraham. But he said, before Abraham was, I am. And that I am was what made them pick up stones. Not because he said he was older than Abraham. If he had said he was older than Abraham, they would laugh. Look at him, fool. But when he said, before Abraham was, I am, they said, that's blasphemy. What did they understand? You remember when Moses said to Almighty God, whom shall I say sent me? God said, tell them, I am that I am has sent you. His name is I am. So when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, they knew he was not just talking language. They knew he meant that he was the God that sent Moses. He was the God that stood before Abraham. Glory to God. So they picked up stones. They said, you have to die for this. This is blasphemy. But he was not blaspheming. No, the Bible tells us that when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings, he met Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And in the New Testament, when you study in the book of Hebrews, he calls Melchizedek the king of righteousness. Who else could have been the king of righteousness? Again, he calls him the king of peace. Who else could be called the king of peace? This was one of the theophanies of the Old Testament. And the Bible says Abraham gave him the tithes of all. He paid tithes.
And Paul said, consider how great this man was, before whom the patriarch Abraham made obeisance. And he was blessed. And we know that the lesser is blessed of the better. You still in this place? I want you to begin to understand what's going on here. Look at it. In verse 5. And said and answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, severe boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Do you understand? To his forehead he had boils, severe boils. Until he had to hide himself from everybody. He was in terrible pain. Verse 8. And it took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die! Why did she say that? I want to tell you why she said that. No, she was not being evil. She was just being ignorant. I want you to understand. She was a wonderful woman. You know, she's been knocked a lot of times for being even almost an idol worshiper. No, she was not that mean. Here was the trouble. She had seen the husband suffer so much. And the husband was longing for death. And she said, let me tell you. As long as you are hopeful, you are not going to die. She was fed up, tired of seeing her husband suffer. Now all his body was full of boils. She thought, dear God, what is this? And she said, curse God and you'll be able to die. You want to die? If you curse God, he'll kill you. Then at least all this trouble will be over. See, she was using human thinking. You see that? Just like Sarah, when she said to Abraham, yay, now I know how you're going to have a child. You know I'm about 90 years old. You know I can't have a child anymore. You know that, don't you? Yeah, all right. Now, you take Hagar, sleep with her, and you have a child. That's the revelation. That's what God meant, that you have a son. And Abraham said, that's smart. And took Hagar. Now you're going... They weren't bad. They were just trying to be smart. You understand? Like when daddy says to that boy, if you don't pass that exam, you will not play, you will not eat in this house. Alright? Get into that room now. And daddy locks him in and says, he will study until he studies his brains out. And then when daddy falls asleep, mommy goes, she opens the door and says, I'm sure you are hungry. Take this food. Gives him food. The young guy behind the door has been eating, enjoying himself. Daddy thinks he's starving himself on the books now. But mommy's playing sneaky. The guy's enjoying having all the best things. Ask anything he says, I want. Can I have ice cream? Mommy will get it for him. But you know what mommy's doing? Mommy, in her love for dear son, as she's ready to do anything for the son to be happy, mommy is raising a potential highway robber. But she doesn't know. The voice of daddy, sit down, do this, is from God. Are you hearing me? Be careful. The day daddy becomes like mommy, son, what do you want to eat? The day, son,
gains authority to decide all the foolish things must be done. Let your family be well balanced. All right? Don't try to spoil what daddy is doing. Balance it. Daddy cannot hate his son. So don't play behind and try to organize the children when daddy seems to be hot. What you do is discuss with him. You will see he has some sense. Right? 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 Yep. 90% of runaway children were driven away indirectly because of mommy's way of doing things. What they didn't know. They thought because daddy was hot-headed and strict, too angry. If mommy cooperated, then daddy's high-handedness would have been wisely tamed. Because it would have been better for daddy to go back and call the boy rather than for mommy to soften it and pretend to love the children more than daddy does. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? If your children ever get to believe that the father is against them, you are ruining your family. Right away. Right away. So be careful. If you've already made the mistake, ask God to forgive you and show you the way out. Oh, praise God. Let's round this thing up. Let's quickly get some important facts here, alright? Okay. Now, did you notice what Job said? He said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. And I said, Job's attitude was a good attitude. And I also said, we need to check the writing. Who is talking to us? The revelation that we are being given, where are we getting it from? Is it a revelation before the death of Christ? Is it a revelation after the death of Christ? Because the cross helped us to see the Father heart of God. Are you hearing me? The cross of Jesus Christ helped us to see the Father heart of God. When Jesus said God was his Father, they picked up stones to kill him. They were angry with him for saying that. They never ever could understand that God was a father. They knew the Almighty God who terrorized the children of Israel with his thunderings and lightnings. They couldn't imagine God being soft-hearted. But the Almighty God is so great. On Wednesday we talked about the many sides of God. Do you remember that? Wednesday night. The many sides of God. We talked about that. And the holy angels who have never, in spite of the fact that they are right there in the presence of God, right there at the throne of God, around the throne of God, they have never even understood everything about Almighty God. Hallelujah. It's an amazing truth. It's something that we have to understand. Glory to God. All right, now let's compare this. Now, would you mark that verse 21 where he said, naked came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. And then where he said, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Now, go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And read verse 24. Have you seen it? Read verse 24. Now, God only knows what on earth you are saying. What are you saying? I must have given you the wrong verse. 29, please. 29. Thank you. Again. One more time. Is that not clear? That when God gives you, he doesn't take it away? Now, this man said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Now, but we all saw that it was Satan who came.
and took those things away. It wasn't God. Now, remember, there was a hedge of protection built around Job. Who built it? Talk to me. Who built it? Now, why did he build it? It was a hedge of protection. Protection from who? From Satan. Not from Job's friends. It was a spiritual hedge because Satan doesn't respect physical fences. It was a spiritual hedge. So he wasn't being protected from human beings by God's hedge. God built the hedge. So it means God protected Job from Satan. And it was God who made Job rich. And he has said here, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, which means God doesn't change his mind about his gifts. When he gives to you, he never takes it back from you. He never does it. If you ever lose anything that God gives to you, hear this, God didn't take it from you. You know what God does? If he's fed up with what you're doing, you know what he does? He just gives someone else what he has given you and he'll add to it. And leave you with yours getting older and older. That's all. He never takes it from you. He is abundantly resourceful. Amen? Praise God. Now look at verse 10. Oh no, we were reading in verse 8 and what the wife said. Do you remember? Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? See, Job still did not sin against God. He maintained his integrity. But look at this. Job didn't, he had the right attitude, but he had the wrong thinking. Come on here, are you getting the idea now? Job had the right attitude, but he had the wrong thinking. He was a humble man. He believed in God. He would not curse God. He was committed to God. But he was thinking wrongly. And listen, when you think wrong, you will believe wrong. And if you believe wrong, you will think wrong. You see that? If the information that you have is wrong, your thinking will be wrong. Your believing will be wrong. And here is where many people have their problems in their lives. Here is where the problems really start. It starts from the information they have. Job was sure that God cursed his problems. Now, for you to understand this better, if you would go to Genesis chapter 1, quickly, study Genesis chapter 1. I want you to read verse 1, very quickly. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm just going to take about 10 more minutes on this. Hope we can wind this thing up. All right. Genesis chapter 1. Read from verse 1. 1, 2, go. Good. Read it again. Read the next. No. Don't go beyond. Don't go beyond that. I want you to notice something now. Where there is a great difference, something that ought to produce questions in your mind, in verse 2. Now, did you see verse 1? He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, verse 2 says, and the earth was formless and empty. Have you seen that? It says God created the heavens and the earth. Then it says the heavens and the earth being created by God, the earth was formless and empty. Did God create a formless earth? Okay, look further. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Is God a God of darkness? How could he create the earth in darkness? Watch. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. Now, another version reads that the earth was a chaotic mass. Do you understand? It was a chaotic mass. How could God create the earth formless, empty, and in darkness? It's just not consistent with the character of God. See, any wise thinking person would want to question that. Is this consistent with the character of God? How could God create an earth and it will be dark? When the Bible says God is light. Oh. He says in Him, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, in Him there is no darkness at all. No darkness in Him at all. If for anything, His presence will give it light. It must mean that there is a timeless or undated difference between verse 1 and verse 2. And so, that causes you to begin to study the scriptures. To study the scriptures. And through study, you will discover, aha, aha. I'll just give you quickly what that background is. There you will discover where all these things we've been talking about, Satan was cast out of heaven and cast down to the earth and so on. That's where all that took place. Between verse 1 and verse 2. Now, this is not human assumption. It's all in the scriptures. You begin to see that. You'll see where God turned the world upside down and threw it in darkness. It was an act of judgment. Verse 2 was an act of judgment on the earth. It was not the following from verse 1 into verse 2. God created the heavens and the earth was dark. No, the earth, that verse 2 did not immediately follow verse 1. Something happened. And you see, that was not revealed unto Moses. You see that now? That was not revealed unto Moses. You had to get to another prophet to get that revelation. And when you study Ezekiel, and you study Isaiah, and study Jeremiah, you will now discover what happened. And see, that revelation, which was not given unto Moses, and you can fit it in between verse 1 and verse 2. You get the point now? So when you study the words of a prophet, you need to be very, very careful. It's different from when you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those were not revelations when they were writing. They were writing what they understood from watching Jesus, from seeing Jesus. That's why they couldn't reveal the things that Jesus did, which they were not told. Only what they saw and heard. All right? But when the prophets were writing, they were given revelations beyond them. Hallelujah. Now, I said that to say this. When you read in the book of Job and find that on that day, it says on a certain day that God had this conference with angels and that Satan was present with them. And God talked to Satan. Of course, Satan answered God and all of that. And then Satan went from the presence of God. Do not look at it like a 24-hour day within that day, the way you look at things in the world. Don't look at it that way. Look beyond it. And see that that was in eternity. See that that was in the presence of God where no clock is ticking. In the earth, it will not be the same thing. It's not like a 3-hour conversation. It's not like what God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, all right, yeah, I've seen him. I've seen that you protected him. You've given him everything. And then God says, all right, now you can go. Everything he has is in your hand. And then Satan just, no. Something was happening in the earth when all this was going on. Why are you where you are today? Why do you have the problems you're facing today? Why do you face the challenges that you face today? How can you come out of them? How can you maintain what God has given to you? How can you remain in a good position that God has placed you in? How can all these things be? Can your life actually be triumphant continually? Is it possible? Can you be a success from day to day? Is it possible? Can you live a victorious life? Is it possible? Can you actually be happy in your life continually? Is it possible? It is possible. Jesus said, anything is possible. I said, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Hallelujah. I want you to read Job chapter 19. Verse 8. Read verse 8. He's talking about God. Read verse 9. Read verse 10. Question. Is that God? Was Job correct? No, tell me. Was Job correct? Now, there are people who will maintain that Job was right. In that it was God who did it. Okay, let's look at a simple law of the Spirit that will be enough. If that is not enough, I think you would need to fast and pray. There is a law of the Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Satan saw an edge around Job. Who built it? Because Satan said to God, you have built a hedge around him. So, Satan saw it, God knew it was there, and both of them knew it was God who put it there. The only person who didn't know it was there was Job. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 10. Are you there? Verse 8. Want to go? Just verse 8. Verse 8. Want to go? Now, is that's what you just read. I want you to tell me. Is it a suggestion? No, you will look at the language again. Tell me if it's a suggestion. Is it a story? Is it an assumption? Is it a proposal? Or does it look like a principle, a law? Read it again. Okay, what does that sound like to you? Talk to me. Is it a promise? What is it? Do I have any lawyer here? I want a smart lawyer. Any smart lawyer? Where are smart lawyers? They're putting down their hands. I just want a smart lawyer. There are several of them over there. Okay. Hey, okay, can a lawyer come out here? A lawyer that goes to court, okay? Okay, you also come. That's a man and that's a lady. Okay. Okay. Take your Bible. You have to have your Bible. You need a Bible. Okay. Now, you look at that Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Tell me, what does it sound like? What do you see there?
The microphone is coming to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. Tell me, is it a proposal? Is it an idea? Is God sharing a vision?
Yes.
Read it and then tell me what it is.
Okay. Praise the Lord. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite him.
What is that to you?
That's a law.
That's a law.
It's a law and a statement of fact.
Lawyer?
It's a law.
It's a law.
It's a law.
So it's a spiritual law. Brothers and sisters, it's so important that we understand God's word. Listen, that is a spiritual law. He said, he that breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite him. It's not a promise. It's a law of the Spirit. Good. Now that hedge around Job, Satan could not go through it. If Satan had been able to go through it, he would have done it. He couldn't. So he told God, you put a hedge there, and no one can go through it. That's the reason that guy has prospered. Number two, God would have to violate that principle if he broke the hedge. He should become the victim. He said, whoso? Is that right? Anyone. Anyone who does it, a serpent shall bite him. Now, if it's a spiritual law, it means that he is not dealing with a physical serpent. He is dealing with the enemy. Who is to become the victim? The one in the house or the one that breaks the hedge? Who is to be the victim? Talk to me. Okay. Now there was a hedge. Satan could not go through until that hedge was broken. If we don't know who broke the hedge, let us find out who was bitten of the serpent. You see that? Find out who was bitten of the serpent. The guy who was bitten of the serpent, the Bible says he's the one who broke the hedge. The serpent there is the devil. Old Testament revelation of Satan is the serpent. And in the book of Revelation, Satan is called that old serpent, the devil. So when Satan came and got to Job, it was because Job already broke the hedge. How did he break the hedge? That you can begin to see. You will see why. Why that problem is inside your bones. You will see why. You understand that the fact that the doctor said that you were born SS, and so you must suffer from sickle cell anemia, you will see that it is not the doctor's report that is your problem. Your crises are your making. No, you think that people should be sorry for you. It will not change your situation. The cancer in your body is not your grandmother's button. Because God put a hedge around you. If you serve God, he has a hedge around you. You say, the robbers broke into your house, they destroyed this, they destroyed that. What about the hedge? What happened to the hedge? Brothers and sisters, the day you were born again, you were fenced around. Glory to God. How can that fence be removed? I don't have much time now. But I'll just rush through this. If you read through the book of Proverbs, he will let you know, with your mouth you tear down a house. He said, with your words you can tear down the walls.
And these are not talking about physical walls. It's about the walls of your life. The hedge around you. You tear down. Tear down the wall with your own mouth. How did Job successfully carry out this terrible, nefarious activity against himself? I'll show it to you. Turn there. Book of Job chapter 3. You will see it now. What does the Bible say about fear? It says fear has what? Torment. Fear has torment. And who is the tormentor? Satan. You don't understand. Fear has torment. And the tormentor, the Bible says, is Satan. And if fear has Satan in it, it means fear opens the door to Satan. You're not born with fear. Fear does not live in you. Fear is an outside force that you can welcome into your life. And brother, if you welcome fear into your life, you have welcomed the tormentor, Satan, into your life. Don't say, I don't know how he got into my family. You brought him in. Fear is a door. It's Satan's door. It's his chief door. Alright, let's read from here. Chapter 3, book of Job. And I am reading from verse 20. When Job suffered all these things, he began to say from verse 20, wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which longed for death, but it cometh not. The man wanted to die. He was fed up of life. His business was down. His family was gone. His wife left him. Everything was down. And Job said, why am I still living? What is all this? What am I living for? You know, it's painful when you have been a big man. You know, when you've had everything. You've had all those official cars and all those drivers, you know, doing everything for you. And then all of a sudden you have to stop the boss. You know what that means. Life just... And those who used to respect you, now look at you narrowly. Like, who is this? You feel like killing yourself. All right? Job was in this situation. To worsen it, his whole family was gone. Those who thought he was somebody, who thought he was serving God, were now asking him, where is your God? You call yourself a man of God. Where is your God? Those of us that don't even believe in God, we are enjoying more than yourself. And look at him. Suffering. And he says, why am I still living? Look at it. Verse 21, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoices exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? Said, God has hedged me in. Was it God who did it? He said, he hath set darkness in my path. He hath faced me that I cannot pass. He said, God has blocked my way. That's what he said. Verse 24, for my sign cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. Verse 25 shows you the key. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Uh-oh. Can you see it now? This shows us the life that righteous man was living. He was a righteous man. He loved God, but he lived in fear. Can you see it now? See why you can be such a wonderful man, a great man of God. When terrible things begin to happen in your life, people will not know. Because they are not acquainted with spiritual laws. They will not know why such things happen. They said that man of God was traveling. Suddenly there was a ghastly motor accident and he died. I don't believe a man of God should die by accident like that. No. He's not right. Does that mean he was not a man of God? No! Great man of God! But that was not the right way to die. Look at Elisha. The Bible says he stood in the place of Elijah. He had tremendous experiences with God. Great miracles followed. The Bible says Elisha became sick. He was so sick that he died sick. And he was buried. The anointing was still in his bones. When a dead man was laid in his sepulcher, the Bible says when that dead man body touched Elisha's bones, he came back to life. Why with all that anointing did Elisha die the death that he died? Ask yourself those questions. Somebody says, we can never understand God. He's not mysterious. Somebody says, the ways of the Lord are mysterious. The Lord does things in mysterious ways. He doesn't do things in mysterious ways. To be mysterious means that you are confusing. It means you cannot be understood. But the Bible says he made his acts known unto the children of Israel and his ways unto Moses. So he's not confusing. He has shown us, he's given us his words. That if we will study his words, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He didn't say my people are destroyed when I feel like tempting them. The writer there said, God said that Satan moved God to destroy Job without cause. Because no man could see the cause. Humanly speaking, Job had nothing wrong. But when Job began to say, I want him to show up and show me where I did something wrong. I know my life. I've been perfect in every way. I want God to show up and then let him charge me with wrong. I don't know why I'm going through this. After God allowed him to die, then God showed up. When God showed up, he said, Job, can you tell me where darkness resides? He said, Job, I want you to tell me, where does the wind come from? He's trying to tell Job something. He's trying to tell Job, you don't know everything. God began to question Job. He said, who is this that speaks without knowledge? Who is this that speaks without revelation of wisdom? Who are you, Job? And Job fell and he said, as God spoke from this side and turned over here, and God spoke from the other side, ha! And God was speaking from everywhere. And Job began to, my goodness, oh boy, where is he talking from? He was everywhere. And Job fell down. He said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes. I'm so sorry, dear God. I thought I was somebody. I thought I knew something, but I repent. Why did he repent? Because when the perfect light of God shines, then you can really see. God said, you're talking without knowledge. There's a lot you don't know. I was judging you on the basis of your knowledge. When I said you were perfect, it was based on what you knew. There's so much more you don't know, Job. And some of that stuff that Job didn't know is what we have been given by the apostles in the New Testament. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Job was destroyed because he didn't have the revelation. He didn't know what Satan was like. The Bible says he's transformed. Satan is transformed into an angel of light. You can see that in 2 Corinthians, reading chapter 11 and in verse, let me give that to you, 14. In verse 14, you see that. He's transformed into an angel of light. When he begins to carry out his religious practice, you will think he knows everything. Now, I want us to serve God. Let us now be in the Spirit. Let us go into the presence of God. He's telling lies. You do not go into the presence of God. After you are born again, you are born in the presence of God. You live in the presence of God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And he spiritualized me. We come like as something you have gone out. We don't go out and we don't come in. We are born in there. And by the Holy Ghost, we live in there. You understand? Your life is not for destruction. You have to understand who your real enemy is. And when you discover what God has given to you, you hold on to it. They don't tell you that you are barren. You cannot be barren. No, after you're born again, everything in your body is already touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's life in you. You cannot be a failure anymore. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things, doesn't matter what you go through in your life, all things will turn out for your good. That means you cannot be disadvantaged. But when we don't understand this, We live a life of the victim. We are the victim. We don't know why we are going through this. Look at Job. He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Now we can see the kind of man he was. He was living in fear and nobody knew. He greatly feared. Nobody knew. Or he spoke boldly outside. Or he was a righteous man. Your righteousness is not enough, brother. It will not stop the devil. Your holiness will not stop the devil. You have to understand that devil, he can show up anywhere. He can show up anytime. But you have to understand that with your lips, you can honor knowledge and stay him where he ought to be. Just because you've been going to church doesn't mean your business will succeed. Just because you've been studying the Bible doesn't mean everything's going to be all right. Are you hearing me? You have to have it in your mouth. You have to speak it out. Don't tell me that because you stay clean, that's why there's no disease in your body. You have to understand this. Oh, it's not coming from the water. It's not coming from the food. There's a devil out there that you have to be aware of and keep him where he belongs. Defensive Christianity will never help. Don't say, well, when the devil shows up, I don't know what to do. Don't wait for him to show up. Put him where he ought to be. Are you hearing me? Look at Job. For the thing, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. He was afraid of losing what he had. He was afraid that one day all of these things will be gone. You look at that guy who's always looking out through the window. He's afraid of something. There's a shaking. There's a noise in the night. It's 2 a.m. His heart is beating. You're letting the devil come. Are you hearing me? What are you afraid of? The one outside should be afraid of you. But when you become afraid, fear hath torments. Fear hath torments. Fear opens the door to the devil. This man was greatly afraid. Now, let me tell you, that was what God saw. When Satan was with God in heaven, and they were talking, it got to the time that God looked and saw that Job had broken the hedge. I'll show you how he broke it. Now, the fear was not enough to break it. The fear was there. But I tell you, the Bible says, sin, it says, desire, lust, when it has conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Alright? Now, the same thing happens with fear. As you nurse it, you nurture fear. It grows. It grows. It grows until you begin to talk fear. Until people can begin to find fear in your voice, in your words. Until you begin to act fear. Fear grows. It grows up like a giant until it binds you. And everybody can now tell you're really living in fear. Look at the next verse. Look at what Job said. He said, verse 26, I was not in safety. Is that true or false? It's false because there was a hedge about Job. Job said he was not safe. Neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet. He said, I was not safe. I had no rest. I was always troubled. And I didn't keep quiet about it. I always told everybody, watch out. I don't know what might happen to me. If anything happens to me, please watch out. He always voiced his fear. He said, I was not quiet about it. I told everybody. The man was talking his fears. I don't know what is happening in my body. It looks like I'm losing weight. I don't understand. I'm losing weight. I was 75, now I'm 68. I don't know what is happening. Maybe I ate something. I don't understand. If I die, please bury me here. If I die, give the land and suitable place to that man. Look at what you're going through. You know what you're doing? You're cutting out your life with your tongue. And the day you die, nobody would know what actually happened. He said, but that man was such a good man. Huh? How can good people just die like, Do you know why wicked people live long? Have you noticed that some wicked people live long? Can I tell you why? Wicked tyrants live long. Dictators live long. You know why? Their mouth. They've come to that point in their life, they're not afraid of anybody, they don't talk fear. They talk as though the whole world is theirs. They forget that one day it will come to an end. But they have been able to prolong their days with their talking. They may not understand the principles. But brother, whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, if you jump up, you will come down. You see that? Learn to use your mouth. Learn to use it. With your mouth, you can order your life. James chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that your mouth can defile your body. And when he says defile, he's not talking about ceremonial uncleanness. It means that he can bring spots. He can bring wrong things into your life. When you discover that your body is beginning to have some disease, some infirmity, check your tongue. The Bible says the tongue can cause the body not to function rightly. Your tongue. I don't know how my heart is beating. This seems like it's beating faster and faster. Why don't you use your tongue to stabilize it? Use your tongue to stabilize in the name of Jesus. If you think it's not beating right, tell it to beat right in the name of Jesus. That is better than telling everybody what the devil is doing to you. You are testifying of the devil. I said, but if you don't tell somebody what you're going through, how would they be able to help you? Okay. Keep telling them. Keep telling them because I'm out of time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, boy. Now, don't. Oh. What is it? Oh. Okay. Tell somebody to relax. Make sure you don't miss the services until... Why until? You shouldn't miss any service. But these series of teachings, as we get through with the session, get the tapes, listen to them again and again and again. Faith is something you don't get all of it once. You have to listen again and again and again and again. Again and again until it motivates you and you start shouting. If you don't get to that point, when you're listening, don't stop. Just keep listening. Keep listening. First, you get on your legs. I'm telling you. You start going like this. You know? Until you go, Before long, you will get up from your chair. The tape is still playing. Some of you are driving, you know, you're listening to the tape. The time will come when you start looking for where to park. I'm telling you. It's true. So it's not all that one of just listening and smiling. You listen and listen and listen and listen. You start looking for somewhere to park. You know? And don't be stupid. Don't park by the road. Get into somewhere. You understand? Get into somewhere. Some nice area. Park there. Lock the car. Come out. Don't stay inside the car. Be smart. Lock the car. Come out. You know why I said don't stay inside? Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Okay. You just go, start talking in tongues. Liba combra dege sasha. You know, talk in tongues. Release yourself in the Holy Ghost. Those of you who don't listen to tapes, I don't know what you listen to. Home video, you sit down in front of home video. Tape 1, tape 2, tape 3. Each one, 3 hours. 9 hours. You change one leg. Watch. After that, you go to football. You watch everything. Meanwhile, that match, it's 1998. But you are watching it. World Cup of 1998. They want to score. You are almost kicking too. But you already know the scores. You know Nigeria lost. Oh, he almost scored. You know. Get these tapes. Listen to God's word. Stay your faith strong. It will energize you, rejuvenate you, strengthen you. Hallelujah. And then you see what happens to your job. You see how to talk about your business. The devil doesn't want you to say you're doing good. When you come, Hey, how's your business? Well, so-so. No, no, no. Not the kind of business that I'm involved with. Brother, tomorrow's Monday. He walk out and they ask you how's business. Say, boy, we are all over the place. It's amazing what doors are open to us. You know what? The devil doesn't know everything. When you start testifying of God's goodness, the devil gets confused. He said, don't say it. Don't say it. Just say, well, we are managing. Everybody is struggling, so we are all struggling. We are hoping that this year will be better than last year. We don't know how things will turn out. That is the voice of Satan. Don't talk like that. Are you hearing me? I will show you. I will show it to you. In our next service, I'm going to show it to you. How you can overthrow yourself from where you belong. And how you can actually promote yourself. This year, you can tell that next year, this is where you will be. The only thing that God will do is to add to it. God can add to it. God can multiply it. But God will not reduce it. But if you don't determine where you're going to be next year, sit down there. You say, last year, you'll be the same forever. Look at me. Say, my life is moving forward. Say, I'm in charge. Listen, listen. If you have a business here, if you have a business, or you work in a business that you are committed to, you have everything it takes. Everything. Everything. Everything it takes to be world class. I'm telling you. And it will not be by your sweat. Listen, grace is not... grace doesn't play fair. Listen, favor doesn't play fair. Favor doesn't look for who is qualified, brother. I may not be qualified to have what I have, but I have what I have. Hallelujah. You know, some guys believe they are more qualified than myself. I agree. It's true. But God looked at me. And He smiled at me. And He said, everyone get out of my way. I want that guy. Woo! I didn't think I was qualified. What do I do? The guy in charge, he just looked around and he said, I want someone from that part of the world. I want someone. And the Lord just looked around and He said, hey, Chris, come here. And I said, yes, sir. I thought, dear God, but I. He said, no buts, no ifs, follow me. I said, yes, sir. That was it. Favor doesn't play fair. Can you understand it now? I am the favored of the Lord. I am so blessed. Nobody can change it. Because the one who favors me is bigger than everybody. He is the real biggie. Look around. No one can change Him. He favors me. Think about it. Some people know better than yourself, but God has chosen you. Hey, glory! Hallelujah! You are favored. No, look at you. Look at you. See the way you are. Look at you. No, look at you. You are favored. I said you are favored. I said, you are favored. They may not think you are righteous enough to have it. They may not think you are knowledgeable enough to have it. They may not think you have enough experience to have it. But God has chosen to give it to you. Give him a shout, somebody. You. God is uplifting you. God is moving you forward. Nothing will stop it. Your way is already determined. Hear me. Your history has been written already. You are a success. You are a success. In the name of Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All things are possible. All things are possible. What do you want to do with your business? All things are possible. What do you want to do with your school? All things are possible. What do you want to do with your job? All things are possible. In your family, all things are possible. In your body, all things are possible. In your finances, all things are possible. Shout, somebody. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. All things are possible. I'm on my way. All things are possible. I'm a success. All things are possible. Glory to God. I said we are moving on the global level. All things are possible. I refuse to be small. I said, I refuse to be small. I am not small. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I am not small. Can I tell you something? Several years ago, we were just about 150 members of the church. I walked into a bookstore. And there I saw a book titled, Pastoring Small Churches. I said to the guy who was with me, I said, I refuse to buy that book. They said there are good principles in it. I said, but I'm not a pastor of small churches. We're just 150. I said, I refuse to buy that book. I am not a pastor of a small church. Why? Look at it today. And we are all over the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you hearing me? One more thing. When they call for a conference of big time CEOs, go there. If they call for small business, little business managers, refuse to go. You are not a little business manager. I said you are not a little business manager. God is lifting you up. God is moving you forward. Are you hearing me? The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. Yay! I have a goodly heritage. He has brought me into a large place. I am blessed. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I know who I am. I have found my place. In the word of God, I have found my place. I know who I am. Hallelujah. I'm seated together with you in the heavenly realms. Are you hearing me? Oh, glory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, which energizes me, which anointed me. Oh, glory. Look, see, as far as your eyes can see, it has been given unto you. As far as your eyes can see, it has been given unto you. See, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west, look all around you. As far as you can see, it's all yours. Hallelujah. It's all yours. My, oh my.
Give him praise, will you? Give him praise.